CliffCentral.com.
All right, isn't that nice? Dressed for Success, Roxette. When last did you hear that? In the 80s. The 80s.
90s.
I think it could have been 80s, Ben. Late 80s, maybe 90s. Early 90s. All right, I'll take your word for it. The thing I remember about that song is that I was in primary school and I used to think the words were, I'm going to get dressed for some sex. I always thought that was odd.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously you weren't the kids that were drinking early go.
Dressed for some sex. And then I eventually worked out of it. Ah, success. Ah, obvious. I wasn't paying attention. So, yesterday, by the way, welcome to your Friday morning. It is the 5th of October. Casper De Vries will be joining us in a little while. Casper, of course, the host of the Casper Radio Show. South Africa's foremost sketch comedian and someone who is a pioneer in television terms because of what he did with the Casper Rasper Show and a bunch of other shows. He did them long before anyone else. I saw a clip the other day someone sent me of him dressed up as a woman, which he did fairly often, doing outrageous things. And it was like in the 90s. The guy is really an unbelievable talent. I love spending time with him.
See, the problem with, well, not the problem with Casper, but the beauty of Casper is that Leon Schuster got all the attention for all the slapstick cuck. But Casper was doing great stuff. Even if you didn't understand Afrikaans,
yeah,
his sketch comedy was like another level.
And Casper's always been really smart about it, too. He does smart stuff. He comes in with his dog, Kent. You know, Kent is his lifelong companion. And we're going to talk to him and Kent this morning. We'll interview Kent. So I asked a question yesterday. I don't know if it went into the ether or whether you heard it or not. But what is the most rare color in nature? What color is least represented in nature? And I think this came from a picture that Ben showed me. He showed me a picture of the sky that he took on Tuesday evening. Really beautiful picture, and you could
beautiful
see the
oranges.
It was like a moving picture, right? Because yeah, you could see
like
the clouds.
Time lapse of the sunset with clouds, yeah.
And Tuesday was a particularly beautiful night, I remember, because I looked out of the window. I was sitting in my study, and I looked out of the window and thought, wow, this light that's coming in is incredible. It was this intense sort of yellow light, like you'd get on a film set. And photographers always refer to that time as like the golden hour or whatever it is, you know, where you can take the most beautiful pictures just because the lights are so good. And I thought, what is the rarest color in nature? If there are pinks and purples in the sky in the picture that Ben showed me, and pink and purple are not readily occurring. I mean, you get some flowers and a couple of birds, but you don't get a lot of pink and purple. And then I decided to Google it and look up what the most rare color in nature is. So I'll get to that in a second. Who's on the line, Nodo? Is this on the phone or on Skype? Line 6, Benedict. All right. We've got to improve our communication skills here from a Nolo and Gareth point of view so we can understand each other better. Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, I'm good, man.
Good, Benedict. Go ahead. You're going to have to speak up a little. This line's a bit soft.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry to bring you guys down on a Friday morning.
No, you're not. Just let's hear it first, and then we'll decide if you're going to bring us down.
Hey, there's something happened around my neighborhood, like a kid around 18 years.
Yeah.
Killed his mother using a screwdriver.
Jesus. What's your neighborhood?
In Tando.
Where's
Limpopo.
That? Oh, Limpopo.
Yeah.
Damn, dude. When did you find out about this?
It happened Monday morning. They found the mother Sunday evening. Apparently, it happened in the afternoon.
Oh, my God. And have they found out what actually went down?
Yeah, the kid tried to hang himself.
So he killed the mother and then he tried to hang himself.
Yeah.
Jeez. Obviously, nobody knows what their conversation was about. I mean, was there unhappiness in the family? Was there a financial strain? Was there abuse?
The conversation was that the mother wouldn't give the kid the money for drugs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You see, this is scary, right? I mean, especially when it happens in your neighborhood. You hear about these things.
On.
Yes, I
see. Especially if you remember that you went to school with this kid.
Oh, wow. So you actually knew the kid.
Yeah.
Listen, how big is the drug problem in your neighborhood?
It's very big. Almost each and every corner, there's a drug dealer where you find kids around, ranging from 16 to 18, hanging out there. Full pegged.
And what kind of drugs are we talking about?
Weed, actually.
Weed?
Yeah.
People are killing for weed? Jesus, that's frightening.
It's tough, man.
Yes. It's tough. Are you do you do any drugs?
No, none.
Oh man, I'm sorry. You knew this guy, and obviously this poor mother. I mean, you know that we always talk about how the people who are most dangerous are sometimes the ones who are closest to you. This poor woman obviously had no idea, or else she knew her son was dangerous, and there was just nothing she could do. It's a horrible story. So the guy tried to hang himself, but he's still alive.
Yeah.
Have they arrested him?
I think they took him yesterday.
Wow. All right, well, you were right about one thing. You did bring us down.
Hey, I'm really sorry, man.
That's all right, Benedict. The
problem is this drug, the weed being legalized and stuff. Now people are taking advantage, you know?
No, I think you mustn't mix the two issues up. I mean, there are lots and lots of people who smoke weed and don't kill people. This is a one-off, and I would be surprised if it was just weed, even post my ugly experience with that on Friday. But I think that, you know, there are dangerous people and there are people who are not dangerous. And some people, and the people who are not dangerous are probably not dangerous on anything. The people who are probably dangerous on everything.
Yeah.
But listen, I'm sorry, man. If you're okay, I'm happy. But obviously for the whole community, this is a shock. I mean, what a nasty thing to happen.
Yeah, that's a very nasty thing.
Jesus. All right, dude. Well, thank you.
Now we just have to wait how the justice system is going to look at it.
Well, yeah, you know what happens is we always pay attention to those high-profile cases, you know, like Oscar Pistorius.
And
Jacob Zuma. We never pay attention to the ordinary people and the ordinary things that happen and affect communities so badly.
Yeah, that's bad, man.
Well, keep us updated. So, Benedict, you listen every day?
Yeah, every day, but usually I listen to the podcast.
Well, I'm glad you could be part of the live show today.
Yeah, I'm very happy today.
All right, dude. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Okay, no problem.
All right, there we go. Wow. Horrible story. We were talking about the kind of legalization of weed and what that means for everybody, and here he's saying, well, it's not all good. You got to be careful not to conflate issues, obviously, but I think in his current context, that's a conclusion you would jump to. You would too.
But imagine, like, where you live, every corner there's just someone doing something pretty dodgy.
Yeah.
Like how do you bring kids up? How do you bring kids up with any kind of confidence?
Well, my heart goes out to anybody in that situation. I think it must be debilitating beyond belief and deeply affecting of every decision that you make. I can't imagine how hard it must be. I do want to just get back, because we did say we were going to talk about this color thing. It seems almost ridiculous now in comparison to the story we've just heard from Benedict. But what do you think the most underrepresented color in nature is? Ben, what do you reckon?
Most underrepresented?
Yeah. The color that you would see the least in nature.
Brown.
It's not brown? Let's give Nolo a chance to guess. Nolo, you want to guess?
I'd say brown and green are the most colors you'd see.
Yeah, brown and green are fairly regular. Yeah. I mean, all the trees are brown. All the trees are brown, the trees are brown. Oh, it's all the leaves.
And the dirt is brown.
And the dirt is brown.
Yeah, sure, it wasn't
dirt is brown. Everything, turds are brown.
Well,
lots of things are brown.
Turds can be ashy.
I don't know, black? This is a wild
No,
case.
Okay, so look, there isn't...
But is black a color, though?
No, you see, true black, which is the kind of thing they try to replicate on your screen, and they talk about pure
like
black.
A panther.
Yeah, now, the only animal that I can think of is a black panther, and of course some insects. But black is it's relatively common, pure black. In other words, the absence of any light, something that absorbs all the light, it's almost unheard of in nature. You even space isn't pure black. So it's not black, it's not brown. I'll give you a clue. It is in Nolo's hair.
Blue? Wait, what?
Blue.
Aqua, blue.
Blue,
which blue, though? Because there's so many shades.
Well, blue and all of its shades, in fact, because there are very few animals that are blue.
Mm.
There are only... there are a few... birds that are blue, but they're not a lot. And yeah, although
that,
the sky is blue,
a big fucking sky in the ocean. Yeah, and stuff.
But remember that you would think that that's the most overrepresented
the ocean's
color.
Not blue.
But in living things, certainly blue is underrepresented. So when I said in nature, I mean living things. I should have maybe been more specific.
Well, that's when you said living things. I thought you don't get many brown animals because they're like.
Are you kidding?
Beige.
Bears, antelopes.
Yeah, but again, like, is it a true brown?
Ben. Well, Ben, I think brown is. You don't see brown then. You only get one kind of pink flamingo. You don't get brown. You get loads of brown. Most dogs are brown.
Yeah.
You didn't think about that? So there we are. It's blue, according to... well, that's only according to Google. I mean, there might be a botanist or a zoologist who disagrees. But you don't see a lot of blue flowers, even, if you think about it. You get pinks and reds and oranges and yellows.
In Pretoria, you do. But in Pretoria, you get lots of strange colors.
Yeah, you get the jacarandas and the trees, but those are purple. So it's very rare to find the range of blues in living things. That's what they say. So I thought that we'd need to throw that in this morning just to keep you updated with some useless and interesting facts. Are you happy about that?
Yeah, Gareth. Yeah.
All right.
No one died. No one died in that story, so it's a good story.
Something else that I think you should know about. Apparently, according to experts, Facebook reflects your brand, Twitter reflects your personality, LinkedIn shows us what you've accomplished. Do you agree with that? I don't think Twitter tells you anything anymore, so I'm going to cut that one out.
Well, what does Instagram tell you?
What you'd like to be. I'm guessing they didn't say much about Instagram. I mean, I think that Instagram is how you want the world to see you. Twitter is the filth inside your head. Facebook is a family-friendly version of you that's played down. Because you'll see people are still, when they post stuff on Facebook, they often are aware that their boss might be able to look them up. They don't
exactly.
For some reason, they don't connect that on Instagram. They'll put drunk pictures there and pictures of them semi-naked and showing their asses and all that kind of thing. But they don't do that on Facebook. Have you noticed? There's a slight sort of, there's a very gray area.
It is kind of funny how different platforms bring out the different sides of us.
So people say that LinkedIn is very serious. I've never seen people post boozy pictures or, you know, booty shots in LinkedIn. Mind you, it's also true. I don't go on LinkedIn that much. It's not one of the ones I check regularly. I'm on LinkedIn, but I don't really check it that often. But it wouldn't be the place that people would put non-business stuff, right?
Yeah, I try. I never get any response.
Oh, really, Ben? Have they been ignoring you on LinkedIn? I checked out some of the connections there. It's weird who adds you on different platforms too. If you had to, like, you don't get friends from LinkedIn, do you?
It depends. If your life is your job, then it becomes more your Facebook. You get those people who, they are nothing outside of when work stops, but during work, they're the business. They're everything. Like, you have to be nice to them because they're this or that. They thrive in LinkedIn.
I've seldom seen people. You get those like reminders of someone's anniversary at work or whatever. That comes up from time to time.
Hooray. No. And then you wish them well done and they go, oh yeah, I left that company like 3 years ago. Because they don't update their stuff or they don't care.
I went onto my LinkedIn the other day to just update and I had like 400 invitations or whatever. And I didn't know more than 5 or 6 of those people who'd send me an invitation. So it seems like LinkedIn's at an arm's length as opposed to the others. But who knows? Maybe LinkedIn will be the only one that has any real cred one day. Because Facebook, we know, they're using your information left, right, and center. We don't know what they're doing with it on LinkedIn. There's not that much talk of that. Instagram belongs to Facebook. WhatsApp belongs to Facebook.
Well, out of all the platforms where you want people to share or leak your stuff is LinkedIn. It's like, pick me, pick me, pick me.
Yeah, because they'll link... because they'll use all the information that you're actually okay with. Like, exactly. I speak 3 languages
all
and I have a certificate.
No one ever hacks LinkedIn because it's like, well, it's
like I'm trying people to... give you that information for free.
Yeah, yeah. Take all my professional information. Please find me greater work. Imagine the fancy bears going, oh, we're going to get these guys promotions. That's not going to happen.
Are you on LinkedIn, Nola?
I had an account. 2016, I think. I created it in 2016.
He's still there or not?
Look, I don't think I have access to the email account that I used to register. Yeah. So it's there, but it's not there. You know what I mean?
I'm on my LinkedIn profile now.
What do you see, Ben?
Beautiful.
give us some of the lowdown on your LinkedIn.
Well, see, like the LinkedIn feed is just stuff you never want to read. It's like professional people, pictures of people in meetings, pictures of people dressed smart. Everyone's doing nice things.
All you have to do is go for a walk through Sandton City's offices and you'll see what I mean.
Everyone's right? doing nice things and like there's it's just a very different world.
It is civil though.
Very.
People, you don't see anyone getting uptight in a status update on. I mean, even I've got this one friend who I know is a rubbish. Okay, he is a terrible human being. He is just a wild animal. He sleeps around. He's probably got children with various women. He drinks heavily, heavily. He's got a major problem. His liver's probably got cirrhosis. And somehow on LinkedIn, he seems like a very respectable guy.
Sure. But LinkedIn is just, everything's pretty good, huh? Iceland have made it illegal to pay women less than men. Thanks, Eric.
Is that what they just said to you?
Yeah.
Huh.
Only 1 in 800 fur seal pups are born blonde.
Is that something you just got from LinkedIn?
Yeah. Look at that.
Wow. Look what Gareth Armstrong says. With the rise of artificial intelligence and machine learning, these are skills needed as soon as 2022. And you want to hear what those skills are? No. Of course not.
Sorry, you lost me. Well, this guy's got an exclusive club for storytellers and innovators.
Yes.
Well, that's what you want to be kicking about this weekend.
Well, here's something that might interest you. You see, LinkedIn can be mined for good information, and we're going to damn well do it if it kills us. In Moscow, there is a subway ticket machine that accepts 30 squats
as payment. Oh, I saw this. This is amazing. Yeah, you can just
see
crack some squats off and you get a free ticket.
There is good stuff on LinkedIn.
Someone's quoting Oprah here. It doesn't matter how far you rise, at some point you're bound to stumble. Oprah's going deep here. Perseverance and perspective on a Friday.
Michael Jackson, you remember him? Not the singer, but the one who used to do it. Michael Jackson, who used to do a show here on cliffcentral.com. Sounds like that. Remember him?
Yeah.
He has a thought for the day. Would you like to hear it?
Please.
The internet is currently at 1.8 billion web pages and growing at 70 terabytes a second. Quote that at the coffee machine today. See what people do. See how impressed they are. I think that's great. So someone's talking about the Dinkle Bus system for interface and system.
Yeah.
It's boring.
Well, you know, as a business owner now, Gareth, people are now sending me their CVs.
Yes.
So I've got a deluge of CVs. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Deluge.
And how many people are adding you? That's important.
Many. I've got notifications and stuff.
All right. So there that was our look at LinkedIn this morning, which is often neglected.
LinkedIn's this is my draw from now on.
From now on, if you want to clear your mind, because we often moan about social media and how much detritus there is and how much rubbish washes up ashore on systems like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. You know what? I feel your pain. But the reality is there is an alternative, and it's been staring you in the face for the longest time. It's right there. It's
right there.
Often it's an app you've got on your phone, but you never
just live in LinkedIn.
No one goes there. Go in. It says in on the logo. Go in.
47 CEOs or executive directors visited my post yesterday.
47?
Yeah.
It's amazing. You see, you wouldn't get that info from Facebook, would you?
11 people from the Paris area hit me up yesterday. Outstanding, LinkedIn.
All right, let's go to some messages.
LinkedIn's who I want to be from now on.
Pavalo says, speaking of tapping talent, where is Duncan? You know, funny, Duncan's name came up the other day. I think he's working for, the last time I checked in on him, he was working for a company that was going to put together podcasts. I'm not sure where he is now. But we must get him for an appearance on the show, according to Pavalo. He had a really good personality. Mr. Schmangel says, when I was living in Cape Town, I was caught pissed out of my socks. Every sports team I supported played that day. And so that was why he was pissed. And all of them lost. So I got drunk on Jack Daniels. I had to blow the breathalyzer, and the readings were 0.94, 0.93, 0.95. That's a lot.
That's a lot of booze, yeah. So
as you can see, I
lost.
I mean, that means out of every drop of blood, almost 1% of it is alcohol. That is insane.
Is it?
What's a lot? Jesus, you shouldn't have that much alcohol in your... The end of going to court for the whole year, I was found not guilty because the breathalyzer was broken and the readings should be the same. It was a day before they had to calibrate breathalyzers. Now I don't drive when I'm drunk. Moral of the story is the breathalyzers are unreliable, says Mr. Schmangel's Buyakasha.
I often don't trust a breathalyzer because what if you've had no booze, yeah, but just prior to the breathalyzer you've had one sip of beer?
Or a wine gum.
That... or a brandy snap.
Yes.
Or but like the last kind of the remnants of alcohol is still in your mouth. So that's going to go into the breathalyzer.
Well, apparently you can get them to read wrong if you put on alcohol hand sanitizer on your hands and hold them near the thing, because they pick up the tiniest amount of alcohol in anything. If you used a breath spray, you know, you get those little breath sprays that some people use that contains alcohol. There are loads of things that contain a little bit of alcohol, but they're not drinks. And they often throw out the reading.
Mouthwash used to contain alcohol.
That's right.
Until they started selling too much in the UAE, so they had to make it neutral, allegedly.
But it is interesting. So the reason we're talking about this is in the first hour, Ben and I were talking about breathalyzers because Gary Hertzberg had that on his show this week. And I was testing it out. But I'm going to keep testing it. We'll see. We'll bring it in here and test everybody's blood alcohol level on a random day and see who's been hitting the bottle in their pain and depression silently without anyone knowing. Lubabalo says, Ben, you are fantastic. How's that?
Ah, thanks.
A nice message.
Thanks. Also, people on LinkedIn say as well.
Yes. And here's one from Jennifer says, morning, guys. It's the weekend baby. Isn't that nice? Jennifer Payton. Oh. Frank says, Ben, I listened to your recommendation of Joan and Jerrica. What a fantastic podcast. Thank you for that, Frank.
It really is.
Yeah, we do try to give you the best we can in terms of advice on, you know, how to fill your day with useful, interesting, exciting podcasts. And we have a bunch of them here. I mentioned Gary Hertzberg a minute ago. Apart from Gary, there's also Timothy Maurice, who was on this week. You've got to listen to the Brain and Brand show. And you can find one of our series because those are all terrific.
I went for a run yesterday.
Sorry, am I keeping you up?
Yes. I went for a run yesterday because I just thought I'd clear my mind and try to get some energy back in my body.
Uh-huh.
And I had one of those episodes of Joan and Jerrica on. And I found I definitely ran faster because my mind was trying so hard to actually just comprehend how revolting these women were that I forgot that I was tired or out of breath. It just becomes like dark biology at some stage. It's just such an incredible show.
You really can find just about anything. You just have to search on that podcast app.
Like, I was thinking when we were younger, like days of our parents or whatever, where humor was pretty basic, you know, people would have, they would dine out on like a news person saying something like fanny by mistake. It would be like the talk of the week. But now through podcasting and through professionals and comedians and stuff, you can create a show like that, which is the ultimate disaster show. But it's so well done that you can... I know it's like an alternative reality because it's not an actual show. It's just entertainment.
No, it's acting.
Still, like, it's just so good. So good.
Yeah, I mean, for example, this is how people used to entertain themselves back in the 1920s. They would actually fart a whole song. Have you heard about this, Ben? There were people who would use their anus to make a song. I think that's a great talent, and we should maybe think of reviving it. There are very few people who can do that. I don't know more than one.
You're on your own there.
You don't find that entertaining?
No, I never have, but you'll never let it go.
If you ever watch TV shows from the like before it even got to South Africa, when they were still just doing them in America in the 1950s and 60s, it's embarrassing to see how childish some of it is. Really, really childish. Keenan, you want to talk to Ben?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What's up, Keenan?
Ben.
Yeah.
Hi, Ben. Yeah, on the Cape Flats, the shooting, everybody fucked up in what was and whatnot. But there's like a soccer team on the Cape Flats that's competing for a tournament for 1 million rand.
Wow.
In Durban. And they are John Ramsey secondary. I just want to send a shout out to them. I know you don't do shout outs. And I would like you to mention them in your sport.
Okay. Well, we'll tweet me at Follow the Bounce.
I'm not on Twitter.
Good.
You're not on Twitter.
Good.
Keenan, I can only do so much, bro, because the sports are already done for today.
Well, what's the team called?
John Ramsey, hi.
Okay, can you message the show and keep us updated on how they do, and I'll definitely include them, because...
They're playing the final today at 11 o'clock. All right. The tournament is 1 million rand.
That's amazing. And they're little local club.
Yeah. So, no, it's a high school.
A high school?
High school for
Who's putting up the money?
I don't know. It's just amazing.
There must be something dodgy going on. Is it government-backed?
I don't know.
See, Kitty, you got to find out and message me, and then I'll put it into support on Monday. We'll open all with right. it on Monday.
I'll do your work for you. Yeah.
Lekker, man.
Thanks, no dude. See, Kenan, sometimes you have to step up, Keenan. Thank you. Thanks for letting us know, dude.
You're the best, bud.
All right, ciao. Cool. Bye-bye. Oh, yeah, isn't that useful? A million rand in a school tournament.
I just love how the story was prefaced perfectly there. You know, I'm from the Cape Flats, so people are shooting every shit up and stuff. Because this is the beauty of sport.
Keenan knows his world.
This is the sport I keep telling you about. Sport gives people hope to actually make something of their lives. What are you going to do? You just keep shooting shit out or go play football?
Well, you could win a million rand if you're at the right school. That's amazing. Anushka says, LinkedIn is the most annoying platform. People exaggerate their skills. I registered because I actually did some good. I actually did find some good people for my team. Also some horrendous people. I mean, there are people who do go on there, and that's where you get your recommendations. I've heard that is the place to share. For example, if you have some insights in a certain industry, people take it seriously on LinkedIn.
Sure.
They don't do it on other platforms. They think you're boasting. But I do know that people who embellish their CVs is a major problem. I mean, we were talking just earlier about Salim Simanga, who hired that woman, Marietta Okamp. Tani. Yeah,
Tani Marietta.
Tani Marietta Okamp. And apparently she had falsified her qualifications. And you remember Paolo Jordan not so long ago.
He wasn't a doctor.
No, not a doctor at all. So you wouldn't get away with that if people found your profile and reported you. The guy who started LinkedIn, because we were talking about podcasts a minute ago.
Yes.
He's also a podcaster. You know that.
I had no idea.
Yes. He's a really, really good. He does a show called Masters of Scale. And it's absolutely brilliant, but it's all Silicon Valley people. And it's really, really good. He's quite a, you wouldn't expect him. His name is Reid Hoffman. You wouldn't expect him to be an interesting guy to listen to, but he actually is damn insightful. He talks to Sheryl Sandberg from Facebook. He speaks to the guys from Twitter. He's spoken to pretty much all the big startups. Google, he's talked to a lot of them, and he talks about how you scale up your business. So while we're on LinkedIn, and while we're talking about LinkedIn, it's worth mentioning Reid Hoffman as well. All right, Casper De Vries is going to join us in a short while, if he can get here on time. And
I sometimes feel like we are in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, like it's hard for people to get here.
Somehow.
They get lost on the outskirts.
We just forget how to human or something.
Well, I gave someone the address for a meeting on Wednesday, and then she mailed me. So it means she was either in an Uber or stopped her car and was emailing, because it's impossible to email while you drive. And you should never try it, kids. But she said to me, I'm looking for number 11. I'm looking for number 11. And I scrolled down, and on the email, I didn't put 11. I put 18.
Yeah.
But she didn't see it. Very frustrating for me. Well, so I wrote back to her and said, it's not 11. And then she found it. But it did take her an extra 15 minutes.
But you know, the ginger emoji is obviously out. There needs to be an emoji for, you are doing really badly right now. We can assign it, of course. We can go through and find it out. Because sometimes we're always so polite. We bring out our best LinkedIn when people say, sorry, I'm running 20 minutes late for the fifth fucking time in a week. But then you just got to have an emoji saying, I'm not mad, I'm not disappointed, blah, blah, blah. You're doing really badly right now.
You're doing badly at life.
Yeah.
So the way to make this emoji, and think about it, because we're going to hopefully have Casper in the next while, but think about what you would do with that, who you'd put in that emoji. It needs to be a person, and it needs to be a person who is an abject failure at everything they did.
So
who's the biggest loser in history, basically?
I mean, obviously there's a lot of emojis that we could assign to this, because there's some emojis that just never get used.
That one with that medieval weapon, it's like a cudgel.
I just...
No one ever uses that one. I've never got that from anyone on WhatsApp.
Or maybe, just to be quite literal and ironic at the same time, we use the astronaut emoji. Because it's just, you know, an astronaut does very little good on Earth, because let's be honest, they're not on Earth. So when you want to actually just tell someone, you're doing really badly right now.
By the way,
astronaut emoji them.
You mentioned the update. Is it up today? I mean, can you do it now, today?
I think so. I think there's an actual ginger person.
Already on your phone, just in time for the rugby with Stephen Kitsoff.
I hope so, because I want to tweet gingers tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
It'd be really interesting.
All right, well, if you can figure out what the emoji should be, if you have an idea of what the best emoji might be, let me know.
Yeah, so my initial suggestion is the astronaut, because astronauts don't do anything good on Earth.
It's a good suggestion.
They're not on Earth.
If you have a better one, if you think out of the existing ones, or whether we should create a new one, because there's absolutely scope for this. If you think that you have a good idea of someone in history who was a total loser, who just screwed up everything that they touched, and you're not allowed to say Jacob Zuma, because he was actually really good at stealing. You have to be really, really awful and loserish as a human. Maybe Crooked Hillary.
Yeah.
You know? She's a bit of a loser, although she got there. She got to being Secretary of State. That's no small achievement. We need someone who's just bad at everything. You probably never heard of them because history would have, you know, wrecked them into the corner and left them there. But maybe, just maybe, you have a suggestion of someone awful in history who we could use as an emoji for someone who's failing at life. And if you are failing at life, all we have to do is send you that emoji and it says everything. All right. CliffCentral.com on a Friday morning. So we've heard from Casper. This is progress of a kind, Ben. See, there is hope. There is light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. Is there?
Yeah. Do you want to hear from Casper? He just sent me a voice note. He is somewhere in the N1, but listen for yourself and you can hear where the man is. Listen.
Hi, Gareth. I'm on my way. I don't know if you can hear this, but I had too many dormicums again. So I am a bit like syrup. Like, you know, syrup? Where you can't get the words out without them like falling off the lips. But I'm on my way. Everything is looking absolutely spectacular along the way. And hopefully I will be there to bring my cheer and to bring positivity. I've never said
morning
positivity
cheer
like this. See you now.
All right. Well, clearly Experience Fridays has gone on for some people.
Yeah.
I've never done a Dormicum Experience Fridays. How about you?
Well, he's what, like 20 minutes away?
Yeah, no, he's not going to get here in time. All right, there are some things that I do want to tell you quickly. First of all, Donald Trump boarded Air Force One with a piece of paper stuck to his shoe, and people think it's hilarious.
Of course, because the Russians no doubt put it there.
Well, you know, the internet, right? You can't get away with anything these days, and especially if you're president of the United States, there are cameras on you all the time. It used to be bad in the 90s because there'd be a couple of photographers at every state dinner, and there was an occasion where George H.W. Bush threw up at a dinner. He actually vomited, and they caught that on camera. It was terribly embarrassing. And there have been a couple of occasions where various presidents have fallen asleep during important conversations, during important meetings. But in this case, it was a piece of paper stuck to Donald Trump's shoe, and everybody's saying it is a class act. As he headed in to a Make America Great Again rally in Minnesota, President Donald Trump walked up the stairs to board Air Force One with what appears to be a piece of paper stuck to his shoe. Can you believe it? At the top of the stairs, he turned back and waved to the crowd. The paper came off his shoe as he entered the cabin. Watch Donald Trump spin this to mean that he had a piece of money stuck to his shoe, and he's so rich that he even walks around in money. Watch. Someone said, you know what, it's Dr. Jonathan Witz, just let me know, that you could actually do a Propofol Friday, but it would be much worse than your weed show. I think we'll pass, actually. You want me to get hold of Casper? Let me just see if we can call him on here. Let's see if we can get him on here right now. This will be more fun than us waiting. Hello, Casper?
Yeah.
Casper, can you hear
Hi.
Us? Yeah, how's it going? Where are you on the N1?
I can.
What do you see?
Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. What do you see on the highway? What's going on?
It's a lot of cars, mostly buckies, one or two motorcyclists. And they are not moving as quickly as I thought they would. So I don't know whether it is the slow motion that was also implanted in my pupils
because of the dormicum, yeah.
But yeah, because it looks like the tar is like has melted.
Casper,
so I think that is a byproduct of dormicum.
Yeah, Casper, first of all, how many times in your whole life have you been up at 6 or 7?
When I was in the army once, we had to thwart a attack of the Russians, but that was all just play.
Oh,
we had to, yeah, in the army we used to play like children. That you are the Russians, you are the Afghanistans, attack us, and then we go boom, 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 boom.
And so you woke up early that time. Is that the only time you've ever been up around 6 in your life?
I think so. I think the other time was when I was drug raped.
Oh, Jesus.
But I can't remember a lot of it.
Do you know who it was, Casper? I mean, this sounds like, was it Judge Brett Kavanaugh of the United States Supreme Court?
God, even I will not fall for him.
Well, we don't want to make light of such a serious situation. The other question I have is, how much dormicum do you usually go through in about a week or two?
Well, I have been declared Mr. Dormicum now for 4 years in a row.
Oh.
But average two a day.
Do we have a Casper radio show to look forward to today?
Gareth, I really apologize for being late. You know, I was early. You know that I left my farm near Tarleton.
Tarleton?
At 6:30.
Casper, where is that?
That is far, far away. You need actually to go through a boom where then you sign off your life and you go through the boom, and then it's like very strange people in safari clothes. And then when I saw again, it was 7:15. I said, I can't believe this. What happened to my time? But then I realized that there you went back in time, and then when I went through the gate, I sort of gained an hour.
Well, if you manage to get here in time, we'll bring you in. Otherwise, we've got to get to George Meany. Thanks, Casper. Nice to talk to you. Casper De Vries, live on the N1. So there's a lot of that going on. So George Meany is here. You know where Tarleton is.
I think I know where Tarleton is.
Yeah, there's like a racetrack or something there,
isn't it? Past the West Rand, I think.
It's in that deep
south. There's always a racetrack in open
deep
open
southwest.
Ground.
Southwest Rand.
Yeah. Hi, George.
Fun new.
Yes, it's well done for putting up with us last Friday. You are the bravest man to have even walked into the studio. My God. We tried. I mean, it was, you know, some experiments go okay. Some experiments are a disaster. That was a disaster. If there's ever an ad available to anyone and you can use it, spread it around, pass it on to anyone you know that puts people off weed, that is it.
Well, you know, I felt sorry for Ben.
Shame. Ben really was ruined. I saw you hovering over him, kind of trying to like be helpful.
Fan him.
All your paternal.
I knew George was there, but I wasn't there, so it was a useless conversation.
See, George is a dad, and his paternal instincts came out. He wanted to help, but there was nothing he could.
There was nothing. I was attempting, you know, tickling the forehead, fanning him, but
I couldn't raise my head as much as I tried. I couldn't raise my head from the pillow.
So, George, how are you?
Yeah, good. And you, Gareth?
Good. There's always lots and lots of news in motoring and in the motoring lifestyle, and that's what we try to do every Friday. We try to bring you a little synopsis of the big stories. George covers them, and of course, you can find out all the details if you listen to Auto Central, which is every Monday at 9 o'clock on cliffcentral.com. It's a great show. They cover a bunch of different things, have exciting guests, and it's really a motoring show, but it's also a show about cars and about all kinds of things attached to that that you might not think would be attached to cars. So if you're not a big petrol head, you still find things in that show to listen to. And this morning, George has got a couple of stories for us. What do you got?
Absolutely. Well, BMW, everybody knows the 3 Series.
Yes.
I had one back in 1995. One of those box shape 3 Series, 3-5 shadow line.
For those. Yeah. Those were quite cool cars in those days. Yeah?
Well, BMW.
Now, if you see one, you run a mile because you think it's probably a gangster.
One of those old ones, yeah, no, true, especially with tinted windows. BMW revealed its smarter 7th generation 3 Series.
Oh, yeah?
And looks, I mean, they played it safe. I mean, it looks very much like its predecessors. But it is a lot lighter. And the cabin space inside is a little bit bigger. But the interesting thing about this car is that the M340i, which is a 3-liter six-cylinder turbo petrol engine, mm-hmm. does 0 to 100 in 4.4 seconds, just 0.1 seconds slower than the current M3.
It looks BMW-ish.
It does.
I mean, it's, you know, there's a BMW look. What makes this one special, and would you ever think about buying one if you had unlimited money?
No, because I've had one before. Not because it's a bad car, but because I've just committed myself to driving different cars over my lifetime.
Speaking of which, and I don't mean to interject on the BMW issue, but I do want us to get to, because this week is obviously the week of the petrol price increase, and a lot of people will be horrified when they go to fill up their cars this week. They'll be thinking, I've got a downgrade. We should maybe put together a list of the most fuel-efficient cars so that people can go and start shopping around for those.
Good plan. I'll do that for next week, but yeah. Look at hybrids.
Yes, of course.
Look at hybrids.
But we have places to charge?
Well, remember, the hybrid charges itself because it's petrol and electric. So you don't sit with that charging problem when it comes to hybrid. Look at hybrids. The Honda makes a brilliant hybrid, and you should look at a hybrid if you want to save fuel.
I'm looking up the Honda as we speak. All right. So BMW, you wouldn't buy that new M340?
M340i. I mean, beautiful car, bigger cabin space, bigger engine. I'm assuming that because it's as fast as the M3, the next M3 is going to be lightning quick.
Right.
But the only reason I wouldn't buy it is because I've had one before and it's not a bad car. I just want to drive different cars.
Sure.
That's the only reason.
And also, because of who you are, you can't have something like that. It's a bit safe. It's a bit too well known.
True.
Like you can't just commit to that car.
No. The rest of us who...
People got to expect a lot.
Yeah. People look at what George drives and they care.
Yeah.
They don't care what I drive.
Well, that gives me the excuse to drive V8s. So,
right.
So
damn right. And you use V8. It.
I love V8s. Just because of the noise, and they're going to go away soon. So... And then an interesting study. Could silence in your car make it safer? Apparently, blasting your favorite tune could cause you to have an accident because of attention deficit. Scientists have studied this, and apparently, if your ears and your eyes are concentrating on the same thing, you are more perceptive to what's going on the road. If your ears are listening to music that isn't between apparently 60 to 80 beats per minute, your attention has to be split between what you're seeing and what you're hearing. So therefore, things like Guns N' Roses or heavy metal are out of the window, and you should start listening to Taylor Swift and Ed Sheeran.
That's interesting, because I once read a survey. I can't give you the citation because I can't remember what it was, but they said that the most dangerous song you can listen to, the most out of all songs that you could listen to, the most dangerous song is a classical piece called The Ride of the Valkyries. By Wagner. They say that is the most dangerous song you could listen to because it's violent, it's aggressive, it puts people in a certain kind of mood, and therefore it's a very bad idea.
Well, I've noticed in the gym. I don't know if you've noticed if you go to you know, one of the gyms.
Worst music in the world.
Worst music in the world. But the more aggressive the music, don't you find the guys start throwing the weights around?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yes.
So music changes our mood.
It's just such an assault to the ears, gym music.
It is.
Gym music and that sound of the smashing of the weights. But this is what they say is the most dangerous song you can listen to while you're driving. And if you want people to get aggressive, this is what they should listen to. It's that dun-dun-da-da-da-da, right?
And you're waiting for the ghost to come out the corner.
I mean, there might have been an even worse song that's been written since then. We don't know. But quite possibly that's still near the top of the charts.
Absolutely. So apparently between 60 and 80 beats per minute, that's the optimal music rhythm or tempo to listen to. Otherwise, you run the risk of having to split your attention. Now, here's an interesting story. I don't know if you saw Elon Musk's tweets in the last week or two.
No, I think a lot of people have rather tried to avoid them because, especially if you're a Tesla stockholder, you don't want to know what he's tweeting. What is
exactly.
he saying?
So, to cut a long story short, he tried to play a hardball with the SEC because he apparently said that he had a secured funding to take the company private, and that was part of that whole tweet that that made the stock plummet. But that wasn't the worst of it. He apparently said to his board that they have to reject the offer by the SEC, which was a settlement offer of $10 million. So what the SEC did was said, well, stuff you, we're now going to sue you for securities fraud. And he had to go back, tail between his legs, and the SEC then said to him, well, in that case, initially we said you're off as chairman of the board for 2 years and you can stay on as CEO and you can pay $10 million in a fine. Now, because you've pushed back 3 years, not chairman of the board, and $20 million SEC fine.
He should have taken that first offer.
He should have. But he shouldn't have played hardball.
Didn't Elon watch Billions? Don't you see how dangerous these SEC guys can be? They come in, they take all your computers, they requisition everything, they get warrants, you could get arrested, you could get locked up in jail, you get fined.
You don't mess with those guys.
No.
They are ruthless, absolutely ruthless. So you know, while he's a genius coming up with the electric car and the stuff that he has and SpaceX and the solar panels and batteries, he's a little bit of a numbnut when it comes to his leadership style.
Yeah, but you know, these guys start to get high on their own supply.
Yeah,
they start to believe their own PR bullshit.
Oh, they get sloppy.
Yeah.
They are so clinical with what makes them who they are, and then they get to the stage where they just feel they're so big and they get sloppy.
Also, if you do hear Elon in the very few interviews that he does, he sounds like he's very considered, but maybe that's also because he wants to sound like he's very considered.
Maybe
you never
it's
know.
All a facade. You don't know. I mean, I think he's a very smart individual, but to Ben's point, you know, people get ahead of themselves. They get so successful that I'm like God.
Sloppy.
You're not.
Yeah,
unfortunately, you're not even if you're Donald Trump, you're not.
Even if you did go to Boys High in Pretoria.
And then finally, a sad thing happened last weekend at the Russian Grand Prix, and that is Mercedes-Benz forced Bottas to slow down so that Lewis Hamilton could win the race.
Yeah, Ben had some things to say about this and roundly criticized one of our listeners who wanted to know more about it. And Ben said, there's nothing more to know.
What's that?
Team orders happen. Strategically, they did the right thing from a reputational point of view. Whether they did the right thing or not it remains to be seen. But it definitely raised Valtteri Bottas' profile because you can imagine people are feeling sorry for him now. He should have won that race. He was on pole. He got told to slow down.
Even if he did, what would it actually matter? I mean, Toto, the big bad wolf, says, I'll take responsibility. We've almost forgotten about it.
Yeah.
Emerson's doing his absolute best to try to keep people watching the Japanese Grand Prix this week by saying, oh, well, you know, there's still so much to play for. Bollocks.
No. I mean, there's 125 points still available and there's a 50-point gap between Vettel and Hamilton, which means that...
But unless Vettel's putting a banana in Hamilton's exhaust at every race...
Or a potato.
Yeah.
No, Hamilton has to actually come almost nowhere for one or two races to for him to win. So it's going to be a bit of a procession, I think.
He needs his legs chopped off. He'll still probably find a way of getting a podium.
All right. So next week, we will check in with George, find out what the best fuel-efficient cars are. I'm excited to hear about that because I'm also thinking, when I filled up yesterday evening, I said to Ben, 992. And that's just for the price on diesel, by the way. To fill my car, which I told you I'm not really in love with anymore, so maybe it's time for a change. And someone sent me this, George, which should make you laugh. They said, I was riding my bike with my girlfriend Ruth and she fell off the back of the motorbike. I rode on ruthlessly. bit of stupidity for a Friday morning for you. All right, happy Friday, everybody. Have an excellent weekend. Don't fall off your bike. Don't do anything stupid. Try to stay indoors. Don't end up in the newspapers. And as far as those rules go, if you can stick to those, everything will be fine. Have an excellent day in the company of cliffcentral.com. We're going to have Casper De Vries on this afternoon. Well, this morning, actually, at 11 o'clock on the Casper Radio Show, if he can get here in the traffic. And we'll find out all about sex with Jonty and plenty of other good stuff, including the Just Now Comedy Podcast and more. Stay with cliffcentral.com. Thank you, George Meany. Thank you to you. And we will catch you on Monday, bright and early, at 6 a.m. Sometimes you forget the unnews. because there's so much going on. Here it is. What's that?
It's only daily, but
yeah. Yeah, I forget it daily. I forget it daily and it's on day.
Yeah, let's give it a second.
All right, no, here it is. I got it. All right, do you want to know what's going on? Well, the ginger emojis are finally going full steam ahead and the copper tops are loving it. I think that's a racial pejorative now. Don't tell Sasha Martinengo. They don't want to be... They don't want to just end there, though. They want an orange aubergine to be made, too, for the late-night texts. The purple one doesn't work well enough for them. SABC's total irregular expenditure is now reported to have reached, guess how much? 5 billion rand. The top execs did not deny the number this week, but they did say that this number is made worse by the fact that people aren't paying 118 rand a year on their TV licenses. Nike, this should get everybody worried. Nike are worried about Ronaldo's rape case. Though he is an accomplished star right now and an international pinup, Nike execs admit that back in 2009 he did look a little rapey, and this may confirm what we are already speculating. But you didn't hear it from us. That's the Un News. We will see you on Monday. CliffCentral.com.